Oh, thank you. Thank you, sweet Leslie, for leading us in that number today. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk. We're preaching through there for these just two or three more weeks, and we'll finish up. We come next Sunday to that last chapter, which is one long psalm, the whole chapter. We're going to look at a couple of messages there. But today we come to Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. We'll read only verse 5 in just a moment. I was reading the story this week. I found it interesting, speaking about the faithfulness of God, and I'll not be afraid of a private Christian elementary school where the kids were lined up coming through to get lunch, and as they got down to one end of the table, there's a big bucket of apples and a sign on it that said, "Apples, take one and only one. God is watching." And they went through, got down to the other end of the table, and there were cookies, a big plate of cookies. And one of the kids wrote a sign, made it, hung it on there, and said, "Take all the cookies you want, because God's only watching the apples." Amen. So, well, we're not afraid. Amen. We walk by faith, and He is faithful unto us. So I encourage you to walk in your belief. Today we come to Habakkuk chapter 2 and the 5th verse, where God is speaking to those Chaldeans. Now you remember, Judah has gone away from God, and God's raised up the wicked Chaldeans to come against them and to jerk them back in line. And now He speaks a word to the Chaldeans as well. And He says in Habakkuk 2 and verse 5, "Furthermore," you remember last Sunday, "that the just shall live by faith. The proud one, the soul that's not right within him, lifts himself up. We walk the righteous by faith. Furthermore," in addition to that, verse 5 says, "wine betrays the haughty man so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol," like death. "He is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples." The haughty man. The haughty man. The 6th chapter of Proverbs says that there are 6 things that God hates and 7 things that are an abomination unto God. And the very first thing He names in verse 17 are haughty eyes. He goes on to talk about a lying tongue and so forth. But the first thing He says, God said, "I hate, and it's an abomination to me, are haughty eyes," that proud look. All through Scripture, pride is dealt with. Proverbs 16, and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty," there it is again, "a haughty spirit before stumbling." Be very careful in your haughtiness. When you think you're something, when you're really nothing, lest you fall. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. John said it this way, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, it's from the world." This boastfulness, this haughtiness, this pridefulness, not of God, it's not from the Father. That's the world's way. And then Jesus said it in Matthew 23 and verse 12. "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." I've quoted that verse to you again and again and again, and usually use that little phrase there, "Peacock today, feather duster tomorrow." You exalt yourself, then you'll be humbled. God calls on us to humble ourselves, but then there are times in Scripture when He says, we don't humble ourselves, but God humbles us. And if you'll humble yourself, God will in due time exalt you. Church, it comes to me every week. You pastor Olive Church, don't you? Yes. You say, how long you been there? And I'll tell them. Just cause you big doesn't make you great. You can be big and great. But size, sometimes we have to work harder because people will just look and see and say, my goodness, such a big place. People walked in here yesterday, looked around. People had never been in this facility before. Just because you got a bunch of buildings doesn't mean you're doing the work of God. But let me say the antithesis of that. Just because you're small and dying doesn't mean you're doing the work of God. God blesses the large and the small. But He has placed you in a place and has given us a mandate and an opportunity to touch a city, to touch a region. But mark my word, if the spirit of this church becomes haughty, its fall will be quick. Demise will come rapid. We must ever stay on our knees before Holy God, knowing that we have done absolutely nothing, but it's all of Him. He favors one, and we're blessed. He's favored us. He's favored you. And you ought to kneel on your knees day by day. I'm telling you, we don't get on our knees enough. We don't. We need to be on our knees more. Now you can get on your knees and still be haughty. Yeah. Just because you bow down doesn't mean your heart bows. But you must bend yourself to the mind of God and say, Lord, not my will, but yours, and be broken before Him. In this text of Habakkuk 2, the minor prophet outlines five characteristics of a haughty spirit. He gives three verses to each of them. And I'm just going to read them and then give the antithesis of each of what we, if we are broken, should be. So let's look at these five characteristics. We find them right here in verses 6 through 20 of this chapter. Keep your Bible open because this is not going to come up on the screen. So you got your Bible? Did you bring a Bible today? Say amen if you brought a Bible. Amen. All right, good. You know, I long for the day again when I hear those leaves rattling in church. Everybody uses electronic stuff, seems like, today. So it's always good to say, open your Bible, and you hear that. I like that. So keep your Bible open. If it's electronic, fine. But just look at it. Five characteristics of haughtiness. Number one is greed. Greed. Notice it in verse 6, 7, and 8. Will not all of those take up a taunt song. Man, that's a great phrase. They're going to come a taunt song against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, woe, here's the first woe. Woe to him who increases what is not his for how long and makes himself rich with loans. Will not his creditors rise up suddenly and those who collect from him from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them because you have looted many nations, but the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of human bloodshed and violence done in the land to the town and to its inhabitants. Greed on every side. A haughty man just wants to take, get. He wants to get everything you've got. That's what a haughty spirit does. It's never a giving spirit. It's just a taking spirit. We, on the other hand, are not to be greedy. As Christ followers, we should be generous. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A haughty spirit is greedy. Give it. But a broken spirit is generous. That's what we're to be as the people of God. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So we should learn to give. The tithe is just a way of learning to give. You begin right there and then on and beyond it you give. The haughty spirit, don't miss it, is greedy, 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 greedy. Second mark or characteristics of haughtiness is what I call self-aggrandizement. It's the promotion of self. Verse 9, 10, and 11, he says it this way. Look in your Bible, Habakkuk 2, verse 9. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples, so you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer it from the framework. He speaks here of the Chaldeans and all of the grandeur, of their houses. They raised their nest on high. They lift it up so everybody will see it. Look at us. Oh, man. We're something else. Just walk around. Look at here. You never seen a church like this. You never heard music like this. You never heard preaching like this. You never seen a church do it. When a church gets full of itself, she's well on her way to death. We should not be people of self-aggrandizement, but rather we should be poor in spirit, Jesus said. Matthew 5 and verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've always struggled with this verse, poor in spirit. I think Jesus here really is teaching in the greatest sermon ever preached. He's speaking of a brokenness, of bowing your spirit. Poor of spirit, not self-inflated spirit, but poverty, dead to self, is what the Scripture calls us to. Thirdly, the third characteristic found in verses 12, 13, and 14 is violence. A haughty man is filled with violence. Look at it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed, founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that peoples toil for fire and nations grow weary for nothing? For the earth will be filled with a knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. One of the great texts in Habakkuk where he is giving the antithesis of this violence, that the town is filled with violence and bloodshed, but it should rather be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord like waters that cover the sea. Violence. If you ask people in Pensacola, is there more violence or less violence in the last 25 years, 9 out of 10 will tell you more. Statistically, that is not true. You go study the stats in America and you will find that violent crime in the last 25 years is down, not up. So I don't believe it. Well, you don't have to believe me. Just go do your own study. What is up is your knowledge of it. Because everywhere you go, you got it in front of you. And you're getting Googled and texted and tickled everywhere you go. You're Snapchatted. If a fire breaks out in California, you know it before the fire department does. It's just the knowledge is there. But violence really is down. However, we hear about it in our city in shootings. Even though in Pensacola it's down, we hear of that. There's more violent crime not reported today. We live in a violent city, violent society. I was preaching in Selma, Alabama a few weeks ago. I was invited to come preach to the Baptist in Selma. I said, never been there. I'm going to go. My wife was born in Camden, which is right outside of Selma. She wanted to go with me, and so we went, and I preached that night. I'll never forget it. Went out and got in the car, and 3 deacons walked out with us. And I kind of looked around like, are we all right? I mean, they said, well, Pastor, do you have gas? I said, I do. They said, which way are you going home? I said, well, I'm going to go over here in 65, and I'm going to Pensacola. They said, well, whatever you do until you get on the interstate, don't get out of your car. I said, well, what's up, gentlemen? He said, Montgomery, Alabama has done such a phenomenal job with gang violence that all the gangs have left Montgomery, and most of them have moved to Selma. He said, we are scared for our friends after 9, 10 o'clock at night in Selma, Alabama. I said, you got to be kidding me. They said, no, just be careful. So I got in the car, put on my seatbelt, locked the door, looked in the glove box. All my maps were there. I couldn't believe it. That's what they told. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seemed to be true to them. I know this, they were frightened. They were frightened for their city. The Bible calls the people of God not to be violent people. No, sir. But we must be peaceable people. Jesus said it in the great sermon in Matthew 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Verse number 5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Be peacemakers. You're to be gentle. You're to be kind. The church should rise like salt and light in a community and make a difference for peace against violence in our city. The police should have no greater friend than the church in the city. We should be makers of peace, not creators of disturbance. We're to bring people together to the foot of the cross, not stirring up some mob mentality. The haughty are violent people. God's people stand for truth, but they are peacemakers. Number four characteristic that he speaks of is in verses 15 through 17. You're really going to like this one. The haughty is marked by greed, self-aggrandizement, violence. Number four, drunkenness. Verse 15, woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk, so as to look on their nakedness. You'll be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now, you yourselves drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup is in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the devastation of its beast by which you terrified them, because of human bloodshed and violence done to this land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. The haughty man is a drunkard. He's drunk on a lot of things, but this speaks of liquor right here. We are awash in alcoholism in our culture. I've met scores and scores and scores of people who've come to this church, who've gotten saved, and said that God removed alcohol from my life and I was changed and God made me new. But I've never met anyone yet who said, I was living a phenomenal life until I became a drunk and then things really took off for me. Just hadn't met that guy yet. That liar may be there somewhere, but I'm here to tell you, it's, friend, no good thing's gonna come from that. When you give yourself over to another power, any kind, you're walking a dangerous path, and especially when you give yourself over to inebriation. And did you notice that the word nakedness is used? Always godly sexuality is coupled with drunkenness. Again and again, you'll find yourself in trouble with drink. It's a tough message to preach in our culture today because it so inundates us. Everywhere we go, it's there. But rather than being drunk, we're to be sober. Jesus said in the great sermon in Matthew 5 in verse number 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Thirst for righteousness, they'll be satisfied. As a kid preacher at 17, basketball scholarship waiting me at Northeast State Junior College. I turned 18, went off to school. Northeast State Junior College no longer has a basketball program. They've done away with that now, but matter of fact, I, just to be prideful and self-aggrandizing for a few moments, I still hold the free throw shooting percentage for Northeast State Junior College. Never be broken because they're never going to have another team. If they ever try to have another one, I'm going to the meeting, all right? Well, I met some great guys. We had a lot of fun. There's something about athletics and team that just build some things in you that I've always believed in. First team meeting I went to, I'll never forget it. We went to Freddie Whittemore's apartment. It was one light bulb burning. It was blue. One blue 40-watt light bulb. I remember looking to see 40 on it. And everybody had a pint fruit jar. They were drinking their booze out of pint fruit jar. And they handed me one. I had a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. Everybody in this room has a choice to make. May not be your basketball team, but it'll be the folks where you work. And I'm here to tell you, you can take a stand in humility without being, you don't want to be a Pharisee. But it's all right to turn that glass upside down. I'm just telling you in Jesus' name, it's all right to turn it upside down. And just say, that is not for me. That's what I did with Freddie that night. I said, boys, I guess I'll just be the guy driving when we leave. Because that's not a part of my life, not going to be a part of my life. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not self-righteousness. Hunger and thirst for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. I just challenge you today. If alcohol is a part of your social life, I'd challenge you to bring that to the feet of Jesus and ask Him what He'd want you to do with it. The haughty is filled with greed, self-aggrandizement, violence, drunkenness. But verses 18 and 19, that becomes the pinnacle of the haughty man is idolatry. What profit, verse 18 says, is the idol when its maker has carved it? Or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, wake up, to a mute stone, arise. That's your teacher? There's humor in that line. You carve wood in a stone and that's your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver and there is no breath at all inside it? No. The God is dead. It's not very much because you made it. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Oh my. You say, preacher, I don't have any idols in my house. Really? Anything gets between you and your Savior? How about your checkbook? How about your wine glass? Anything God had put His finger on that you had not given Him, I'm telling you, it's an idol. We dare not have a haughty spirit before God. The Lord's in His holy temple, and this is not it. This is Olive Church House. The Lord's in His temple at the throne of heaven. The Lord is there. Let all the earth shut up. That's the Hebrew translation of that text. Keep silent. You don't argue. You don't debate. You just say, God's high and lifted up. Just hush. You don't have anything to say to God anyway. You can argue with Him, but you lose every argument. He knows your question before you pose it. He is the answer. God's in His holy temple. Hush. Bow. Take your Bible. Hang a left from Habakkuk. I want to show you a verse. It's not going to come up on the screen. Lest they run get it while I announce it. Psalm 95. How fast can you find it, Elise? Psalm 95, verses 6 and 8. Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. She's pretty quick, isn't she? For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you'd hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. The writer of Hebrews picks up that text and quotes it in Hebrews 3, verse 10. Come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 12, verse 13, the Bible says that Solomon built a platform and he put a podium on it. And then the Bible says that he came and he raised his hands. And then it says that he bowed on his knees. The Bible says that Solomon got on his knees and he lifted his hands and he said, oh God, there is no Lord like you. There is no God like you. There is no other one like you. And he bowed. If God could ever get the people at the Warrington campus and the people at the Olive Road campus on our knees for an extended period of time and shut our mouth until God spoke His truth into our heart, we might see revival. But it only comes when we get over our haughtiness and bow. There are people in this room that have never been to the altar of a church. After they joined it, they've never come back. You don't have to come here to pray. You really don't. But it's good to do it. Once a decade wouldn't kill you. You say, preacher, if I ever heard a good message, well, we have some other guest preachers sometimes. When's the last time you just bowed before the Lord? I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you on Sunday night before you go to bed that you get on your face tonight. Get on your face. I'm talking about with your stomach on the ground, your hands out, your nose in the carpet, and give thanks to the Lord, and then in the morning on Monday when you get up before you go off to do whatever you do, go find that same place and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. You got to give your all, or you remain haughty. Well, it's being talked about in every church across America today. Kanye West. Every preacher is using him as an illustration. The black rap artist that got saved. And he wrote an album and he put it out. Jesus is King, King G, whatever the name of it is. I hadn't heard it. They say it's pretty good. He wrote a song about Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday. It's the title of it. He got more backlash for that than anything he did. Well, we should pray for him. Yeah. Oh, that generation, your kid's generation, everybody knows who he is. But you know, when Paul got saved, he went off for 2 years and got roots before he went public. I'm not saying that's what this man has to do. I'm just telling you we need to pray for him that God gives him roots in a hurry, because the people try to kill him when a public figure goes like that. He must remain with humility. Then God will raise him up, because he that exalts himself is coming low, but he that humbles himself, and this man has, will in due time be exalted. Somebody's in this room today that God's calling you to get saved, just like that rap artist. But you're going to have to humble yourself to get saved. Somebody's hearing God's called you to join this church, and you've said, I'm never going to join a church like that, and yet God's given you direction that this is where you're supposed to join. And you need to come today and do it. Some of you have been walking in the field a long way from God, and you just need to come home and fall in this altar today and say, Lord, I'm just coming home to you.